we heard a lot of good preaching at YouthCon. We really heard about faith and about God moving. It made me think of what we hear in the world today of impossible stories that leave us in awe and wonder. We have the Olympics coming, or they're here. We're weeks into them. I think about awe and wonder. I think of sprinters. We just, a 100-meter sprint was at some point this past week, and it took them 9 seconds. The difference between first and second was 0.005. That's just crazy to me to think about the power in the legs to just do the impossible and run 100 meters in 9 seconds. Impossible for me, most certainly, but even to watch people run is incredible. We think of the strongest man competition where they're lifting 500, 800, 1,000 pounds, and it just seems incredible and awe-inspiring at some points. But also for me, even more so when it comes to faith, we see stories of people like Daniel's in the lion's den, people that pray for unattainable funds against all odds, and we see God answer in a mighty way. We think they must have a special faith. I've been witnessing this with my own eyes. At Church Planners Conference every year, I see God answer prayer after prayer after prayer by faithful men giving to one another. And just like Daniel, and just like David and Goliath might have marvelous faith, as we might say, and awe-inspiring faith, I can tell you that God does answer now. He might not let you pray fire down from heaven on your sister or your least favorite coworker, but he has equally as powerful and truly as amazing. If you'll turn to Exodus 14 and stand with me as we read God's word, we're going to talk about a man that did something impossible. We're going to begin in Exodus 14, verse 13. Brother Tad made me a little nervous this morning when we went to Exodus 12, because I was already most of the way done with this message, just tying up loose ends. And I said, Brother Tad, I hope you're not going where I think you're going. And he didn't, so that's good. We're going to be in Exodus and begin in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore thou criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." Now, if you could drop down to verse 21. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." You see, Moses, now if you could turn to me to Exodus 4, excuse me. We see Moses do this impossible thing to hear from God, and to God say, "You don't even need to ask me, Moses. You're doing what's right. You're doing what I would have told the children of Israel to do." But Moses didn't always start that way. If you can look in chapter 4 and drop down to verse 9, and it shall come, excuse me, verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who worketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is it not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesperson unto the people, and he shall be thee. And set up a mouth, and thou shalt be him instead of God. And thou shalt take the rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. You may be seated. Lord, I just ask for your help one more time, God, tonight. I'm thankful for your word, Lord. I'm thankful for this passage, God, and how it's impacted my life. I ask now that you just hide me behind you, Lord. I don't want these people to hear me, God, or what I have to say, but I want them to hear what you've said, Lord. What you have proclaimed in your word to be true that would help their lives, to help them propel them closer to you, God. I ask now that you just bless the message, Lord, and just ask that people have open hearts and open ears, Lord, to hear from you, God. Just may I pray. Amen. I want to preach a message tonight entitled Going from Running Away from the Impossible to Running Towards the Impossible. Many know the story of Moses. He's a Hebrew boy that floated down a river, and by happenstance, you know, honestly, it was God's hand, that was found by Pharaoh's daughter, a princess, and was in turn able to be taken care of from Moses' own mother, and to be raised in a pagan land, in a pagan palace, where there's pagan god and goddesses, to know who the true and living God is. But Moses had his fair share of mistakes. He had his flaws. He went even so far to murder a man, hide his body, and run to the desert. It was where he found a wife, and he decided on a career of his father-in-law's sheep. He tended to them. And this is where we find him, on the backside of his desert, talking to a burning bush, arguing with God. We see here in chapter 4, Moses starts by making excuses to God for why he cannot accomplish what God's calling was in his life. Many people struggle with this, but Moses was trying to tell God that created him, he made a mistake. In the way that God had him created, he was unfit for God's call in his life. So basically, he was trying to tell God, the creator of the universe, that he made a mistake, and that what he was telling him to do couldn't be what he was called to do, because he was what he would say, if we look down in verse 4 and verse 10, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. He was trying to tell God, I can't talk really well. He was trying to tell God what he needed. He was trying to tell God what his purpose was supposed to be. Moses didn't think he could do what he was called to do in his own power, which he was right. He couldn't do what he was called to do in his own power, but he was leaving God out of the equation. Too many Christians today leave God out of the equation. And unfortunately, even Christians that go to church and have a good, solid walk with God, we can so easily slip into just leaving God out of the equation, whether it's with a job opportunity or with finances, where we move to. We don't ask what God's will is. We decide just move on our own. What I really think about, and this is why I really encourage you guys to go back and listen to the message at youth conference, it really spoke to me, was Brother Hetzer, I believe it was Thursday morning, I believe, he talked about open doors. And not all open doors are made to go through. There will be open doors that the world gives you that lead you away from God. And too many Christians, I think, today go through open doors that God is not the one that opened, but rather our flesh that wants these things. But Moses had forgotten about the God that his mother told him about and raised him to know. Moses also tried to call someone else. In verse 13, that's what verse 13 is talking about there. I struggled with a little bit trying to figure out what Moses was saying here a little bit. And then I heard a message from Brother Gaddis, and he simplified it like this. Moses said, "Here am I, Lord, send someone else." And too many Christians try to be like, "That's a great plan, God. Let them do it." And not, act upon in our lives, from little things to big things. Moses wanted someone else to call, to do the call that God had placed in his life. Moses was more worried about his own comfort rather than God's call. But the thing is, God called Moses. He didn't call Aaron. He didn't call the elders of Israel. He called Moses for a specific purpose. He knew and formed Moses through his life for his plan, just like each and one of us. And we see here, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Some commentaries try and say that Moses had a physical disability, that he had a stutter or something wrong with him. I personally do not, and I'd like to show from the Word of God and how I came to that conclusion. Normally, let's put it this way. God's ways of dealing with man. God, with how he dealt with Moses here, kind of shows a glimpse into who Moses really was. For example, the story of Gideon. You ask, why bring up the story of Gideon? Well, Gideon asks again and again and again and again about, is God sure? God didn't get angry with him. God does not get angry when you wrestle with God's will. He gets angry when you resist it. See, there's a difference between actively knowing God's will and trying to accomplish it and just making sure God, you're sure that's God will, God wants, and trying to give an excuse to where you don't get have to do God's will at all. Also, next, whenever we see the phrase anger of the Lord was kindled, like we see in verse 14, the person or people of God in the passage are in the wrong and are going against God. Some passage would be in Numbers 11, verse 1, where the children of Israel were complaining. Joshua 7, verse 1, when Achan had taken the items that God specifically told the children of Israel, this is your first city, all the spoils are supposed to go to me, but Achan still took some. That, again, God's anger was kindled against the children of Israel. 2 Samuel 6, verse 7, when Uzzah touched the ark of God and died, just to name a few. God had already shown Moses his power, but Moses didn't care. He wanted to hear. He wanted to do his own thing. I'm not stealing anybody's water pressor, Chad, so I can have it. Moses was trying to do his own thing. He was trying to avoid the will of God in his life. Even through all of Moses trying to make excuse after excuse after excuse, God still was calling him and made sure all those excuses were gone. Moses trying to tell God he was wrong is wrong. But God told Moses that he ran out of excuses. God wanted Moses to use Moses. And he was going to give him everything he needed to accomplish his will for him. And God will give us everything he needs for his will to be accomplished in our lives. There's no mistakes in God's plans. There never will be. Then and now. Even though Moses was complaining, God still made provision for him. And this is my sinful flesh. I'd be like, well, how about Moses just gets smacked upside the head and just goes told what he's to do and just, you better do it or he's going to get struck by lightning. But rather, God was gracious and patient and loving towards Moses and even gave him his brother Aaron to be his spokesperson. Can I encourage you tonight? And specifically our teens, because we just got back from youth conference. You guys have been really on my mind. God gives us everything we need for our call that he has on our life. He makes no mistakes and has a purpose for you. But the question still remains, how did this man that tried everything to not to do what God asked him to do, to tell from that to telling the children of Israel, y'all, you have to have no fear. There's no need for fear. God is right there. God is going to answer, and God's going to take care of our enemy. How did he go from running away to running towards God? And hearing from God, why are you even asking me? If we look back in 14, I'm going to flip over there real quick. You guys don't have to. God says, "The Lord shall fight for you," Moses says, "and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, and they go forward." God was telling Moses, that's the right answer. How do we go from trying to tell God he's wrong to being so in tune with God that when we go to seek him, he already says, "You have the right answer. That's what I want." We see Moses' faith grow. Well, first step is he even begrudgingly still went. And sometimes this is half the battle in the Christian life, I've come to find out, is simply doing it. And then maybe it's reluctantly, and then you just get that first step going. But then you just take another step and another step. And the closer you get to God, and the closer the more you follow after him, and the closer the more you hear from him day after day after day after day, you start accomplishing his will in little increments. It's how we follow after God. Also, we can see in, if I would appreciate if you guys would turn to Exodus chapter 8. We see also God, Moses growing in the 10 plagues. So first we'll look at verses 5 and 6. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand." Now if you could drop down to verses 16 and 17. "And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it might become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod." Now go to verse 26. "And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will thou not stone us?" Verse 29. "And Moses said," chapter 9, verse 1, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me." Verse 9, verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes in the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh." And one last one, verse 13 of chapter 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, saying to him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, and they may serve me." See, and I don't know if any of y'all caught it, and I'm not great with English, but I noticed that it went from God telling Moses to telling Aaron, and then Aaron did it. We see that in the chapter 8, 5 and 6 and 16 and 17. Moses going from that to speaking himself with Aaron next to him, to God calling him finally to speaking alone with Pharaoh. See, Moses didn't have a problem with speaking. He had a problem with trusting. And when he started to see God's work in the first plague after another plague, and he saw the pagan gods, because he knew the pagan gods. He grew up in an Egyptian household, but he was taught the true God and believed on the true God. Doesn't mean he didn't know about the pagan gods. And as he watched God, because each of the plagues, if you go study it out, represents one of the Egyptian gods. And you see God conquer little g god after little g god after little g god. Moses' faith began to grow. He's like, Aaron, go tell him this. Aaron, go and tell him this. I'm going to tell him this. Aaron, I can go tell him this by myself. You see his faith grow through this. So will God in our lives when we follow what God has said. God will call us to go farther and farther into a closer walk with him, and we'll see miraculous things happen. So when Moses made it to the Red Sea, he was able to go from running from the impossible to running towards the impossible. Because he had seen God do miracles in his life before. He had seen God come through. He just made it through the 10 plagues. So he knew God would take care of the next step. Though he might not have exactly known how, and this is one of the things I love about the Bible, and love to think about, I guess, about the Bible. They didn't know, we have the entire Word of God right in front of us every day. We get to see that Moses parted the Red Sea and they made it to the other side and they killed the Egyptians. When Moses told the children of Israel, "Fear ye not," he didn't know how God was going to do any of it. He just knew that God made a promise to him that he would. He didn't know that the Red Sea was going to part. He didn't know the entire Egyptian army was going to die behind them. He just knew that God said, "Get my people out of the land of Egypt and out and keep following me." Moses' fear was overcome by faith, and he was able to see God do the impossible. Aaron Rodgers said this, "God's omnipotence plus our obedience equals miracle living." We hear that people do the impossible things, or so we think. We hear preachers that talk about reading the Bible through 3 and 4 times a year, and we struggle to read a chapter. And that's where, especially in my teenage years, I was like, how do you read through the Bible more than once in a year? I'm having troubles with chapters in a day. And you have to read multiple chapters a day to be able to get through the entire Bible. Has anybody seen Psalm 119? I thought. We hear preachers talk about how they spend hours in prayer, where we struggle with 15 minutes or even 5. Our list feels so long, yet it goes by so quick. We wonder how somebody can spend that much time in prayer and talking with God whenever we struggle ourselves to go anywhere. But can I tell you, don't get discouraged and do not make excuse. Just keep taking steps towards God. God will speak to you in what he expects from you. When you keep reading his word day after day, because God's will comes in increments. When you don't know God's will, just keep doing the things he's already called you to do. You know, read his word. And we talk about it. We sing kids' songs about it. But it's the truth. Christianity isn't that it's hard. It's just you have to be disciplined and consistent to hear from God. You have to consistently open his word, consistently talk to him, and consistently deny your flesh. Because at the end of the day, whenever you start following after God, when you start reading his word and seeing what he has to say, he'll change your life. He'll change your perspective on whatever it is, whether it's giving or how you dress, the words that come in your mouth, the things you watch, the things you listen to. God will speak to you about what he expects from you. All that we need to do is follow God as he tells us to do. And as we keep taking those steps, I can guarantee you those things that you thought were impossible will start becoming possible. God doesn't leave us alone, and he wants us to know him. Just like he showed himself to Moses, he'll show himself to you too. Things that we thought were impossible, like getting a lost family member into church, or bills to be paid, or going to new heights of, you know, faith, whether it's, like I mentioned, Bible reading or prayer, you know, God's been really putting on your heart, man, I need to be reading my Bible more. But I don't know how. I don't know the hours in the day. I got to go to work. I got to go pick up my kids. I got to make sure dinner's ready. I got to make sure that the lawn's taken care of. The house is a mess. What do you do? Where will the time come from? But God promises you when you walk with him, he'll walk with you. And it will help you to that place. We can get to a place where we'll be able to say, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and watch the waters part." Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it's a verse that was brought by one of the preachers at UConn, said, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." God makes a promise that when he called you, that means he's going to fulfill it through you. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make an error. He's calling you to the impossible. Impossible for you to do, but not impossible for him. See, too many times we as Christians, we get in this routine where we think we're good enough. We get apathetic. And And I'm not attacking anybody. I'm speaking more of myself. We put God in a box. We say, God, you're good for Sunday. You're good for when I need something. And God, you're good for when I'm really in a pickle and I've made a mess of my life. But that's about it. We don't think he can do anything else. We don't think the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God that created the world is able to help us. Oh, we wouldn't say it out loud. And many of you are like, already in your heart, you're like, no, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. That's not true. But our lives prove otherwise, and actions speak louder than words. So, let me encourage you in this thing. It's quiz time. I'm going to say a name, and you're going to respond. So I'm going to say Joshua, and you'll say Jericho. First word that comes to mind with that name. All right? See if we can do this. Daniel. There we go. Noah. David. There we go. Pastor Tad. COVID. See, Pastor Tad didn't ever foresee when he came here that God was calling him to have to fight through, struggle through a trial in his life, but he knew God was faithful through it. He knew God was the one he called him here. He knew it was the same God that had called him to Indiana, that called him to Arkansas, and he knew he was the same God that called him to Leavenworth. God didn't make a mistake. It was just a part where he had to grow through God and trust him to see him work in the impossible. Because I know he was having a hard time. And you know, I can only imagine because my dad got COVID too. It was hard on him and it scared me. It was the first time in my life I'd ever seen my dad that sick. And it scared me. But I knew God had a purpose. And I knew God had a plan. Let me encourage you in this last thing. There will come rough days ahead and you don't know how to handle it. Whether it's you don't know how to handle school or family life. There's that kid that's just being stubborn and you're trying to get through to him that God wants the best for him and he just needs to listen to mom and dad, but he's not wanting to listen. Or, you know, you don't know what you need to do with your life. You don't know where that next step leads. Maybe you're about to graduate high school or about to graduate college, or you don't know where God would have you go next. God has a plan for your life, and it's not an accident. God's plan has a purpose, and it involves us growing closer to him. Because whenever we start trusting God and looking back at what God has done, and I can even look back on this week. Our teenagers responded wonderfully to the word of God being open. And I don't want to embarrass any of them, so I won't call them any by name. But I watched God work in their lives. They heard the word of God, and they responded. They heard the word of God, and then they said, I know this might be impossible, but I need to get these things out of my life. By their own testimony, they saw God work in their lives and called them to something different. And right now, it might seem impossible, but can I encourage you guys? It's not impossible. It's just doing the little things of making sure you see, looking back on what God has done at YouthCon, what God did at camp, at what God has done through your entire life. And it's the same for adults. But we might try to get defensive and saying, but God hasn't done anything in my life. Can I encourage you to make sure you double check? You're in a wonderful church home with a loving church family that wants to take care of you and pray for you. And most of all, God saved you. You're going to try to tell me the God that created you, the God that paid his only begotten son to pay for your sins, died for you, isn't going to take care of you, hasn't done anything for you? Brother Burton Gates, I think, said it best, and it really caught me off guard. But the more I think about it, the more God really convicts me about it. We need to give God what he paid for. God gave us his son and gave it his all. Shouldn't we be giving God our all? And when we make that choice to run from running away to running towards God's call for our lives, when we let our faith trump our fear, then we can see God move in a miraculous way. Lord, I thank for you for your word. I thank for your time in it, God. I hope that you just move, Lord. I know you impacted my life so very greatly, God, through this. Lord, it burned in my soul, Lord. And it was bothering me, God, that I need to make sure that I'm going to what you have called me to do and making sure my faith in you is trumping the fear that I have. And Lord, I just ask that you just speak to hearts, Lord, and just move, God, as how I know you can move, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.